Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory, who always causes us to triumph. I like that word always, don't you? That's not win a few, lose a few. That's win, 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 and then we win, win. The devil gets sick of it, but tough. Win, then we win again. Huh? Go to Ephesians, please, the sixth chapter. We began a new series last week. And remember, you were excited? Oh, yeah, you were stirred up about it. And we looked at some things, and we want to go further into it today. This is actually kind of a part two to our prayer series that we finished, called Teach Us to Pray. Now, if you weren't with us for that, church, do you recommend that they listen to it? Or,
yes.
See, they said you should. And so go online. It won't cost you anything. Go online to our website and go to the Word Supply, and the whole series is there. You can watch it, listen to it. Won't cost you anything.
Yes.
And so we're building this off of that, and that was like 12 messages, I think. So today and on this series, we're in Ephesians 6, and he had talked about being strong in the Lord in verse 10 and putting on the whole armor of God. And he talked about the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the gospel of peace, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And all that led up to verse 18, praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit. And that's what we got to talking about last time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me. In other words, and pray for me, Paul said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So what he said about being strong, what he said about the armor of God, led up to praying. Let me read some different translations of verse 18. The NIV says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And that's the title of our series, All Kinds of Prayer. Well, that means there's more than one, right? Here he mentions prayers, requests. The King James mentioned petitions. If you look at other scriptures, you see the word intercessions, and you see the, like we've already said, prayers, petitions, intercessions, giving of thanks. There are more than one kind of prayer and more than one kind of praying. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's gone to be with the Lord now, he used to teach on these things quite a bit. And he said, well, people would say to him, well, isn't prayer prayer? Prayer is prayer, right? He said, yeah, and sports is sports. He said, but they're not all played by the same rules, right? And he'd talk about, you don't play football with baseball rules. Doesn't work. You're going to be confused, right? You don't play baseball with tennis rules or volleyball. You know, sports is sports, and they have some similarities, and yet they don't operate by the same rules. And I believe the Lord gave him that illustration, showing that, yeah, prayer is prayer. You're communing with God. You're talking to God. You're going to exercise faith. It has to do with connection between heaven and earth and God's will being accomplished in the earth, and yet they're not all the same. There's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of petition. There's a prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of intercession. And giving of thanks is called a prayer. You'll notice that many of the Psalms are actually prayers. In the book of Psalms, they're actually prayer. So he said in God's Word translation of this, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all God's people. Now put that with what he already got through saying. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor of God and pray with every kind of prayer and every kind of request. Come on, can you see what's going on here? Yeah. This is use everything at your disposal. Right. Use everything God has given you. Give no place to the enemy and overcome and resist every attack of the enemy and get some kingdom work done in the earth.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
What do you think?
Yes, sir.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yes,
yes it is. And I want us to talk at some point about some of these prayers. Maybe if the Lord leads us, do you think it'd be good to take them one at a time and,
yes.
and define them and talk about them?
Yes.
We could be here a while.
Yes.
Huh? Is that? But is it worth doing?
Yes.
I mean, what else is more important than these kind of things?
Yes, right.
But before we do that, I want us to define further this phrase, in the Spirit. Because that's what he said. Look at it again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So why did he say that? In the Spirit. Look with me, if you would, we ended up last time in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And there is some light, some clarification about what this means. Sometimes in order to find out what something is, you find out what it's not. And that helps you to understand what it is. We looked at scripture that talked about, like one said, a prayer that the Lord would keep you, your whole spirit and soul and body blameless to the coming of our Lord. We talked about Hebrews 4:12, how that the Word of God can separate or divide even to the separation of spirit and soul and joint and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If spirit and soul can be divided or separated, they're not the same thing. Right? Obviously, your spirit is not physical. It's not material. It's not your body. So we know that. And so we know that the spirit and the soul are not exactly the same thing. Maybe they are function, they're as close and work as close together as joint and marrow. But yet, marrow and joint are not the same. And spirit and soul are not the same. And we actually prayed and released faith last Sunday for more revelation
about these things. Sir.
Do you want to know more about
yeah.
it? Oh, I do. This is something I've been believing for personally for decades. And it's quite a study if you've ever done anything up because the translators translated the words interchangeably. And so it requires extra study and looking. And sometimes they translate the same word spirit, soul, heart, mind, you, life. But hey, that's what computers were made for, right? And concordances. So, but anyway, I'm just saying, are we believing? You believing with me? That we'll see because it's not that these things are so hard to understand. It's the enemy is resisting it. He does not want you to know what you are and how you're supposed to function. It can keep you in the dark and keep you confused and keep you limited. And so that's what we're talking about right now. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Like we said, you know, years ago, Brother Hagin said he, before he was filled with the Spirit and learned some of these things, he would ask his denominational brethren, what does that mean? And he said, one fellow said, it just means you pray with greater vim and vigor in the Spirit. Does it? Where's that at in the Scripture? He's talking about pray with greater intensity. Well, the word fervent and fervor is in the Scripture too. Why not use that? What does it mean? Well, we don't have to, we're not just left with theory and conjecture. What does the Scripture say? There's a lot in the Scripture that we have not seen. Now, where did I ask you to go? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Verse 2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, or actually it could just be translated in a tongue, because, or in a language, you could say that too, because the language is not unknown, period, it's unknown to the speaker. Speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Now, you'll find this word is used repeatedly, understand. Understand. Like we said, it'll help you to find out what something is by identifying what it's not. What is the understanding? Where does that come from? Remember, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to what? Your own understanding. So understanding and heart are not the same thing. Not the same. And when he says heart, he's not talking about your physical blood pump. He's talking about like heart of an oak tree, heart of a melon. What? The innermost part, the core of your being. And you are spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your body is the tabernacle or the house that you live in. You're not just a body. You're not just a brain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And your brain is not your mind.
No.
Your mind is part of the inner man.
Yeah.
And if your body died, what happens is your inner man will come out of the body. Just like a hand comes out of a glove or a foot comes out of a boot, you will come out of this body. But you'll still be you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard people say, well, will we know one another in heaven? If you knew them down here. Why? Because you're going to be you. And they're going to be you. They're going to be them.
Yeah.
And you're going to be you. So, yeah, you're the same people. And, you know, when Jesus told about the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, he talked about what happened with both of them after they died, and they recognized each other. And he said, remember in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And they did, and they could. Why? Because same people, same memories. And no, you don't turn into an angel. That'd be a demotion.
Right.
We have been made sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. We don't even know fully know what that is, but it's something. It's amazing. And we are in the earliest stages of our development, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, the Scripture said. But we're talking about the inner man and the outer man. And the inner man has to do with the spirit and the soul and the mind. And what I was saying is, your brain is not your mind. If your brain was decaying in the grave in your body, you'd still have your mind.
Yeah, that's good.
you'll be outside of your body. And no, you won't be hanging around the graveyard haunting somebody. That's junk. No. When a human being dies, you go up or you go down, you don't hang around. People say, well, what about ghosts? These are evil spirits impersonating people. And sometimes they're called familiar spirits, spirits that hung around and influenced people half their life, and they know all kind of details about them, which is why you never want to go to some kind of psychic reading or seance. All you do is open yourself up to be deceived by demons. No. Don't you believe it? And don't play with this stuff. The scripture forbids us from trying to contact or communicate with the dead. And why would you want to anyway? Huh?
Yes, sir.
When you can go straight to the throne, come on, you want to get some answers, you want to get some help, go to somebody that knows something.
Yes,
right? Come boldly before the throne of grace and get your help and get mercy in the time of need. So, go to verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 14, 13. He said, wherefore, let him that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So obviously that's possible, that you could speak something in a tongue or a language that you didn't understand, and yet the Lord would help you to interpret what you said so that now you do understand it. Not translation of tongues. Interpretation, not the same thing. Not a word for word translation of what you said. It's an interpretation. That's why it's possible that the tongue could be short and the interpretation could be twice as long, or vice versa. Not translation. Let him that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Keep going. For if I pray in a tongue, what's happening? My spirit prays. Now, why are we talking about all this? We want to do what Ephesians 6 said. We want to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Well, we need to find out what it means to pray in the spirit. What does that mean? I think we've established it's not with greater vim and vigor. What is he talking about? Here, he's talking about speaking in a tongue you don't know. Now, a lot of people just discount this out of hand and say, oh, you know, that was a special sign and wonder back then, or nobody understands. Well, no. You need to realize these epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all of these, Corinthians, they spoke in tongues. All of them. And just because the church got away from something and lost it doesn't mean God changed. And in order for you to enjoy this and benefit from this, you got to believe it. And you got to yield to it. And it takes faith. Faith comes how? By hearing about it. And sadly, in a lot of churches, it's been preached against. Instead of the word being preached, people who don't do that themselves, they're against it. Well, again, who made you the standard? Right? Let's make the word the standard. I don't think any thinking person is going to argue with the fact that on the day of Pentecost, Jesus told them, he said, you go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a rushing sound like a mighty wind from heaven filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongues like as a fire and set on each of them. And they all began to speak. Began to speak. Began to speak.
Yes.
With other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yes.
And they come tumbling down out of the upper room into the street, and the people said, "What's going on here?" They heard them speak in their languages that they realized these people didn't know. And it was a sign to them. And so they said, and it wasn't just them speaking in a different language. They were high. They were full of the Spirit. They were exuberant. And they said, one guy said, "These guys are drunk. Look here, they're all drunk." And technically, they were. But not with alcohol. And that's what the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. There's more to being filled with the Spirit than speaking in a tongue. Sometimes these things have been limited because of a lack of understanding and a lack of experience. But instead of trying to change the Bible to fit your lack of experience, why don't we believe God to elevate our experience to match the Word? Come on, everybody say it out loud. Lord, elevate my experience to match your Word. You don't change. Your Spirit doesn't change. Help me to experience the fullness of what your people experienced in the beginning days of the church. Amen. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a time for years that I was born again believer, but didn't speak in another tongue. Now, for many years after that, I do. With is better. Now, if you haven't, you're not qualified to comment on it. But I have been without, and I have been with. And I'm telling you, with. With. With is what you want, right? And you say, "Well, I just don't think it is for everybody." Well, you're going to be stuck. Where did you get that idea? No, keep reading. He said, "If I let him that speaks with a tongue pray that he may interpret, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, this really helps in defining. Your spirit's not your body. We know that. What else do we know the Spirit is not? It is not your understanding. It is not what we'd call your head. Huh?
Yes, sir.
So pray, if I'm praying out of my head, I'm not praying in the Spirit. Y'all with me or not?
Yes.
So what praying in the Spirit is, somebody said, "Well, it's praying in tongues." No, that's too limiting a definition. Praying in the Spirit is about the source of the utterance. Where it's coming from. And that it's coming not out of my understanding, it's coming out of my inner man, out of my spirit. Are y'all with me? And really, this could be in a tongue you don't know, or it could also be prophecy, which is a tongue you do know. But the difference is, it's not, you're not just praying out of your head. You're not just praying out of your understanding. And is there a need to be able to pray beyond my understanding? Are you kidding? Huh? Our understanding is so limited.
Yes.
What we know is so tiny compared to what we need to know. Yeah. And that's why the Scripture talks about the Spirit helps our weaknesses, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We need help. Yeah. I said we need help in our praying. Elsewise, you wind up praying the same stuff over and over and over again. You pray everything you know in 5 minutes, and then you say it again two more times. And then you're like, I don't know what else to do. That's why every believer needs to pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. With the Spirit. in the spirit, not just with the understanding. Are y'all with me now? Let's read it again. If I pray in a tongue, unknown tongue means unknown to me, unknown to the speaker. Not that the Bible talks about that there are tongues or languages of men and of angels. And so you or I are not qualified to listen to somebody else speaking in a tongue and go, well, that doesn't sound like a proper tongue to me. You wouldn't know. Hmm? You are to hear some of the languages in the world. Hmm? You would think, that's not a language. It is a language. And how about angelic tongues? You ain't got a clue what those sound like or what they are. So don't try to listen to yourself and see if you think it sounds all right or to somebody else. You wouldn't know. This whole thing is a faith proposition. And that's why a lot of people don't do it, is a lack of faith. It takes faith to pray in the Spirit. It takes faith to pray in tongues. It takes faith to pray by the spirit of prophecy. What do you mean? You got to step out and do it and speak by faith, believing you will have the utterance. If you say, well, I just want the Lord to make me do it, well, then you'll never do it. I just want Him to take me over. I don't want it to be me. Well, then you want it to be me? I want to be the Holy Ghost. Oh, you want the Holy Ghost to get the Holy Ghost. Now, you're laughing, but people are mixed up in their thinking on these things. No, if you don't speak, you won't speak. You have to use your tongue, your vocal cords. You have to breathe and speak just like you do when you're speaking in English or your known language. The difference is it's not coming out of your head. Oh, come on, y'all with me or not? It's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of the inner man. It's coming out of your spirit. And the great thing about that is that there is another spirit who resides within you who can help your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now, this shows you don't have to wait until you're caught up in some kind of a spiritual ecstasy to do it. You can do it at will. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Somebody says, well, since I can pray in the Spirit now, I won't pray with my understanding anymore. Oh, no. You're going to do both.
Right?
Yes, sir. You're going to do both. And what you want to do is do them together. Understanding spirit, spirit understanding, tongues and understanding. Understanding tongues, interpretation. Understand it? Come on, can you see this? Why? What is that? Heart, head. Head, heart. Heart, head. Head, heart.
Yes, yes.
Hmm? Right? Because you need to know some things that's happening in the spirit, or otherwise you won't fully benefit from it.
Right.
Keep reading. He said, I'll pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit. And this is, we got no indication that Paul had a great voice. Somebody said, well, I'm not a singer. Everybody can sing.
Yeah.
Everybody can sing. Like I said, not everybody should record.
Right.
But everybody can sing. Yeah. And you need to sing.
Yeah.
Come on, that's too weak. You need to sing. I'm telling you, when you take that extra step to lift your voice and sing, you will come into a stronger anointing. You'll come into a greater flow. And the Lord wants to hear you. He does. Your Father wants to hear you sing. He does. And He's not listening to, thankfully, He's not listening to see if you're in key or how your pitch is. He's listening to your heart. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else, when you shall bless with the Spirit. Notice he keeps using that phrase, and that's what we're endeavoring to define. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit with the Spirit? When you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? Can you see that he keeps differentiating Spirit from understanding? Can everybody say it out loud? With the Spirit,
with the Spirit is not
with the understanding. So see, it's about where the utterance is coming from. It's not coming from my head. It's not coming out of my mind. It's not coming from my intellect. So if you studied and you thought it out and you wrote it out and you prayed it, that was not in the Spirit. By the Spirit is spontaneous, not pre-planned.
Yeah, it's good.
Says, well, what am I going to say? Exactly. Exactly. Well, how am I going to know what to say? And I don't know what to say. You're going to say it by faith. By faith. Well, how can you do that? You don't know. Huh? And that's why I struggled personally. I struggled with it. 4 years I struggled with it. My head kept getting in the way. Y'all are quiet. My grandmother and her folks were Pentecostal. She got filled with the Holy Spirit in the cotton patch. Cotton field. Picking cotton. Yeah. And there was a move of God. And of course, this was back in the, who had this been? 30s? Some of this, 30s and 40s back in there. This is back in rural Mississippi. And this was way before, you know, desegregation and civil rights movement and all that kind of thing. They had a move of God, and people started getting filled with the Spirit, and they'd meet out, they met out on my great-grandfather's property. There was a big pond out there, and they would baptize people, light skin, dark skin, Choctaw Indian, just all kind of fun. This was unheard of, and it had to be outside because nobody else would let you do that inside. And they had a move of God out there.
Thank you, Lord.
And they were talking in tongues and having experiences. And, you know, God has always done this.
Yes.
Every generation, there's somebody. If they'll listen to him and yield to him, he's moving. Now, you may not hear about it. You may not see it on the news. So the devil will do his best to keep it off the news. But it's happening. How about our generation? How about, huh? It's happening. But it can happen more for us, too. But anyway, I knew it was real because I knew my grandmother. I knew she was not a phony. She, oh, man, she's the real deal. And I knew she spoke in tongues and I knew others. So I knew this was real, and I wanted it. And even as a boy, but I never received. And so as a teenager, we'd have revival meetings. And they'd invite people after the service to come down to the altar and pray. And in our church, it was the men on one side and the women on the other. And the elders would come to help you pray through. And the men would come and they'd pat you on the back and one would say, hold on, hold on. Another one would say, turn loose, turn loose. Another one would say, let it go, let it go. Another one would say, hold on, hold on. Now, I know you're laughing. I'm not mocking. These people loved us. And this is the light we had. But hey, it's more than another. A lot of people had, because most people weren't getting filled at all. But we were taught, we weren't taught to receive and yield. We were taught to tarry. Based on tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with from on high. But you know, they didn't read the rest of it in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. Now you're laughing. I'm not mocking. I'm just, you only know what you know. But what that was about is the Holy Spirit had not come. But on the day of Pentecost, He came. And He's been here ever since. And nobody has to wait to receive Him or wait till He comes. He's here. But we didn't know that. We didn't know that. But even, you know, right after Phyllis and I got married, she grew up Catholic. And so all she knew about the Holy Spirit was He was over here. And but she loved me, and they were having a meeting in the church, so we went again as a young married couple. And when they gave the altar call, I went up because I know this is real. Now, this has been years. And I hadn't received. They even asked me one time, they said, because even back then I had facial hair, mustache, and beard, and they said, you know, maybe if you shave that off, the Lord give you the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, so I shaved, still no Holy Ghost. And, you know, we went through different things and trying. Now, you're laughing, but it's good to be willing,
yes.
Right? Better than saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. No, if it'd help, yeah. But then they're having this meeting, and every night after the preaching, they'd give an altar call, I'd go up. And around there, I mean, there was no watching the clock, man. I mean, you might tarry in the altar for 2 or 3 hours. I mean, it was just, and so I did. And Phyllis, bless her heart, my wife, she's sitting back in the back, watching all this, and this had to be strange to her, you know. I mean, this is, you know, coming out of the Catholic Church, and so eventually she told me later, I didn't know, but she's sitting back there. She knew I was earnest, but night after night, I didn't receive. One night, I'm praying in the altar, oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. Oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. Oh God, and man, I began to sense the presence of God. I knew that. From the time I was a boy, I knew that, just growing up around there. And the presence of God got so much stronger and stronger until I'm just limp like a dish rag. I'm draped over the altar. And then I heard kablump, kablump, kablump. The men all around me started falling out into the floor. Kablump, kablump, kablump. I looked around. They're all laying out on the floor. And looking back now, it's pitiful. Looking back now, I'm going, oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. Oh God. He's going, hey, I'm here. I'm all over you. Here I am. And I'm going, give me the Holy Ghost. Give me the. But when you don't know, you don't know. And part of I could have so easily right then just yielded and started speaking in tongues. But I kept telling people, oh, I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be me. But I didn't understand that it'll be me speaking. The difference is where the utterance is coming from. It's not coming out of my head. It's coming from inside where the Holy Spirit is. And He will also come on you. He's in you in the new birth, but He will also come on you and anoint you. This is real. It's always been this way. And so finally she's sitting back in the back. She says, God, you know, would you just give him what he wants so we can go home, you know? Bless her heart. And then she said, well, maybe it's me, you know? I'm not used to this. I'm not part of this. If I'm holding him back some way. So she got up and came to the altar and gets filled with the Spirit and starts speaking in tongues and fell out on the floor, and I'm still tarrying. didn't seem fair to me. I mean, I've been around Pentecostal circles all my life. Not her. Here she comes in, little Catholic girl. Gets filled first time she ever goes to the altar and falls out under the pile. But thank God. Oh, I was happy for her. And then I said, hey, I knew God was dealing with us about something for our life. I didn't know we were called to the ministry back then. But I knew there was something. And I said, you know, you should pray to fill it in the spirit. Well, I didn't know how. I couldn't. I said, but now that you can, pray for us. And she did. Hallelujah. Thank God. But beyond your understanding, how do you pray about something you don't even know what's going on? In the spirit, with the spirit. Finally, thank God, I got a hold of Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin's materials, and he has a little book about, was it, seven steps or whatever it was to be receive the Holy Spirit? And just small little book. I read that, and it talked about, you know, if you being parents give your children good things, how much more, Luke said, will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? And he went into talking about if you're born again, you don't have to try to, you know, and I'd already learned this the hard way, shave your mustache off or anything else. If you're born again, you're ready to receive. The Lord has qualified you. He's the one that's done it. And then you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit and you receive Him. And then by faith, here was the part I kept missing. By faith, you must step out to speak. Using your mouth, your tongue, your vocal cords, just like you do when you speak in your own tongue, but speaking by faith. And when you do, He gives you utterance. It comes out of, remember Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, but this spake He of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Out of your belly will flow. Well, that's where the inner man is. And so I read that. And my first thought was, that's too easy. That's too easy. And with my Pentecostal upbringing, I'm thinking, you know, well, Brother so-and-so, when he got filled, you know, he saw a bright light and rolled up under the pew. And Sister so-and-so, when she got filled, she shook and ran down the aisle. And I'm looking for that. And experiences vary, but that's not what you should be focused on. But I didn't know. And so I closed a little book and I thought, that's too easy. That's too easy. And a thought came to me, thank God it was from the Lord. He said, you've tried everything else. What's it going to hurt? I'm there by myself in the house. I'm there, you know, nobody around. What's it going to hurt? I thought, okay, all right, okay. Father, thank you that I'm your child. Thank you that Jesus saved me and paid the price and is my Lord. And you said, if we'd ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, you would give Him to us. So I ask you, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me utterance in other tongues. Now he went on to say, now believe that you've received and speak. How am I going to know what to say? You don't. How do I do it? You have to make an effort by faith to speak. Got to believe you receive and then make an effort. Not out of your head, not something you know, not with your understanding. And so I said, okay. Thank you, Lord. I believe you heard me. Thank you, Lord. I believe I receive. And so by faith I speak. Praven and jola fukoma pramprichi. Nah. That's too easy. And then I read the book again. He said, the more you do this, the better the flow will get, the more you yield. And so I did. And from that day to this, hallelujah. I've been praying a bunch in the Spirit. This is for every believer, every child of God. Do you believe it or not? Every believer. every child of God. And so definitely praying with another tongue is praying with the Spirit. And the more you yield, the more you're thinking about it, your head gets in the way. But the more you do it, especially if you do it for minutes and do it for an hour, then you're not thinking so much about what you're doing. Well, how are you able to speak and it's not coming out of your head? Where is it coming from? By your Spirit. Look in Romans 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, if you haven't received this, if you haven't experienced this, you're in the right place today. You can receive today. Do you believe this? You can. You have nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be scared of. This has been in the Bible all this time. And Paul said this in that 14th chapter. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. He was correcting them because they were doing some things the wrong time, the wrong way. But then he turns right around and says, but I do it more than all of you. But it's where he did it and when he did it, primarily in private. Can you see this? Primarily in private for your own benefit, because he said, if I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm edifying myself. I'm building up myself and I'm speaking out mysteries. Notice our text there in Ephesians 6, praying for all saints. You don't know all saints, right? You don't know half of them. How could you possibly pray for all saints? In the Spirit would be the only way. How could you pray about the plan of God when, if you know something about it, it's a drop in the bucket? How can you pray about the plan of God? In the Spirit. Can you see why he uses that phrase? All kinds of praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. All kind of supplications and petitions with thanksgiving in the Spirit. You get to praying like this, whether it's in a tongue you don't understand or even a tongue you do understand by interpretation or prophecy, yet still, even if you understood it, it didn't come out of here. It came out of here. Hallelujah. You know, I preach that way and teach that way too. And a lot of ministers do. What I mean by that, there are times I prepare. I use my understanding. I study. I do that. But I'll get to endeavoring to give it out. It takes faith. How are we going to get it out? With what words? With what way? And sometimes you get to doing it and you get in a flow and I start saying things I never knew. I start saying things I didn't understand. I didn't study that out. I didn't think that out. It came by revelation. Well, then it didn't come from here. I said it didn't come from here. It came out of here. Where the Holy Spirit is. Well, doesn't every believer have the Spirit in them? Yeah, the Bible said if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. You're not a believer if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. But beside having the Spirit of God in you, you can also have the Spirit of God on you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Same Spirit, just one Holy Spirit, but in you and on you and giving you utterance to be able to pray. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 said, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 16, and we'll be closing with this, I think. Boy, there's a lot here, isn't there?
Yes, sir.
Romans 8 and 16. It says the Spirit itself, or actually that better translation, I think, is Himself. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now that word, keep reading because it goes with it. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that word joint is a repetition of the thought from the first verse, previous verse. You don't see it in the King James, but that word for witness is the word for joint witness. and it's used a couple of more times in the New Testament. It's a specific word, different from witness. Joint witness. Back it up, and let me read this to you from the Amplified. Amplified says, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. This, if you've been born again any length of time, you already know this. We're not looking for something strange to come to you or work in you. You already know Him. He's in you.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We're just talking about a more full manifestation of the same one who's been in you night and day ever since you've been born again. Same Holy Spirit. And you are familiar with Him more than you realize. But the problem is many, 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 many Christians are ignoring the Holy Spirit. They're just ignoring Him night and day, acting like He's not there. They're not taught to pay attention. Now, in order to be aware of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to identify your own spirit. Because He is communing and influencing you through your own spirit. Your own inner being. That's what He said. Listen to the Weiss translation. The Weiss says, the Spirit Himself is constantly bearing joint testimony with our human spirit that we are God's children. Let me say it again. The Spirit Himself is constantly bearing joint testimony. The word for testimony and witness is the same word. And this is a whole nother study, but that word, the testimony, is evidence. It's the word for evidence. Now, what we're talking about in this very verse is the evidence that you're saved. The evidence that you're a child of God is what? You received Jesus, you confessed Him as Lord, you know what happened when the Spirit of God worked in you, and your own spirit is going, yeah, I know Him, I'm born again, and somebody else inside you goes, you got that right. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are a child of God. Somebody bigger than you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody who is always right. And His witness is undisputable evidence. Evidence that what? That you are. You are a child of God. Well, the same Spirit that lets you know you're a child of God can let you know other things. He can lead you in all the affairs of life, and that is the Spirit, the same Spirit that gives you utterance to pray. Same Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Stand up on your feet, everybody. There's so much more here, but maybe you can come back. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord.